Would it be okay if I stay down on the ground level?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go ahead and do what Alan said. If you can just sit really close to each other and put your arm around each other and just warm up your neighbor, your brother, your sister. Merry Christmas. I have to say, you are really hardcore.
Why?
I cannot believe you showed up at church on the Christmas day, on the 25th. I heard that actually a lot of churches actually closed down because Christmas Day happened on Sunday. I just couldn't think of closing down, you know, our gathering. I think this is our very first Christmas together. Hallelujah. Very meaningful, and so glad to be here today to celebrating this special day. We're going to look at the second part. If you remember a couple weeks ago, I shared a little bit about the origin of Christmas and the real story of Christmas from Luke chapter 2. So I don't know if you remember, I think there's a lot of misconception about the day of Christmas. In fact, I shared with you how December 25th actually has nothing to do with the actual day of birth of Christ. So that must have been shocking to some of you. But it's not so much when or even where. I think the question that we're asking ourselves and the question that God wants to really answer for us is why this Jesus came. And I shared with you about this whole thing about being born in a manger. Do you remember that story? Most of us think that manger is some barn or stable where they, I guess, commercially grew animals. In fact, we saw how that's not the case. That if you read Luke chapter 2, when it says that there's no room, in the inn, the word that is used for inn is actually upper room, where actually the guests are supposed to stay. And we saw the picture of the typical Jewish home where, in fact, all of the living quarters were on the second level. And the ground level would be where you would actually have a feeding trough for animals and then you would do some housework and chores. So what actually happened is that Mary and Joseph could not find a room in the upper room or the guest room. So they actually ended up staying in the ground level. And the manger, or feeding trough, was really for raising animals for sacrifice, for worship. So we talked about how everything that happened in Luke chapter 2 is actually God's intentional plan. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't something that happened, unfortunately, that they couldn't find a place. God actually wanted to bring his son into this world intentionally to be born in a manger, as a symbol, as a sacrifice for our sin. And we talked about how Christ is the only person in humanity who is actually born to suffer, born to die. So that's the story. That's the first part of the story. And the second part of the story that we're going to look at today is about shepherds. And it's really interesting how Luke chapter 2 gives this amazing story of how the shepherds were the first to actually witness and hear about the announcement of the Messiah. So we're going to read together from chapter 2, verse 8 through 14. We should have that ready, right? So let's go ahead and read it together from this version. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared, with the angel praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests.'" What is really interesting when we read about the actual event of Christmas is this. There are actually two different versions of the birth of Christ. One is found in the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke. The other one is actually found in the Gospel of Matthew. So if you compare these two versions, actually they seem like almost completely different versions of the event. In the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew actually begins explaining the origin of Christ through the genealogy of the Old Testament, the line of David. And then, in the Gospel of Matthew, we actually hear about the Magi, the wise men, coming from afar, bringing these gifts to this newborn Messiah. So that's one version of the story. And then, we read the book of Luke, or the Gospel of Luke. It seems like it's a completely different version, because it's the shepherds who actually get to hear the news, and then they come to worship this baby born in a manger. Now, Matthew does not mention anything about a manger or shepherds. Luke does not mention anything about wise men or magi or the gifts that they brought. Luke does not mention anything about actually Jesus having to flee to Egypt because this King Herod, who heard about the news, was so insecure that he actually decided to massacre all the baby who were the age of two. That was a massive massacre all around the area of Bethlehem. Luke does not talk about that event. So it seems like Matthew and Luke's versions are two completely different accounts of the same event. So what have Christians done in the past? We combined the two stories. How many of you went to Bethlehem and Santa Clara this year? Well, our family used to go there almost every winter. You know that there is a big, massive presentation of the whole birth narrative, the story. In Santa Clara, they set up this massive parking lot, turning it into actually the whole Bethlehem scene. And there are Roman soldiers, and then you see Mary and Joseph walking through those houses, looking for an empty room. And then they end up in a barn, and the door opens. And then you see a little baby. In fact, Rachel was one of the babies in 2004, actually. She was not born in 2004. She was one of those babies in 2007. It was her first acting gig. And then you see all the wise men and the whole procession coming into the barn, and the shepherds come in, and they sing, and then the show ends. And that's usually the Christmas story that we remember. But according to these two accounts, they are actually completely different events. And what people have confused is that we think that Matthew and Luke are actually trying to describe the same event, but these are actually two completely different accounts that happened at different times. That's where people miss. Luke version tells us the actual birth of Christ and how it was announced and how the shepherds actually came to worship. What happens in the Gospel of Matthew is that Matthew is really trying to tell the story of how Jesus is actually the king of the Jews, and he's going back to this Old Testament genealogy, and then, eventually, he's telling the story of how the Magi came from afar to really highlight that Christ was actually born as a king. And that actually happens some 3 to 6 months after the birth of Christ. That's why, if you read the Matthew's version, it says that Jesus was actually in a house. He was already living in a house. So, there's no manger. Jesus already settled in the house in some place in Bethlehem. So, what I want to share with you today is that, you know, we want to separate what we read from Luke chapter 2 from all the other stories that we find in Matthew chapter 1, which is actually something that happened a little while later. We want to focus on this part of the story, and the part that we just read tonight, starting from verse 8, right after the birth of Messiah, starting from 8, is actually a really remarkable and interesting story. Why? Because I want you to just imagine. Here's God who had been planning for this arrival of Messiah for thousands of years. You know, this prophecy had already been spoken right after Adam and Eve had fallen. And then throughout all the Old Testament, God had been promising and prophesying the coming of this Messiah for almost 2,000, over 2,000 years. And now, here comes the king. Here comes this Messiah. And God does not make any sort of announcement. There was no prophet. In fact, the way this actually happened is very, very secretive. It's actually one of the most secret events that took place in the entire Bible because no one else finds out about the coming of this Messiah. I want you to think about that. If this little baby was really the Messiah that will save the whole world, there should have at least been some form of prophetic announcement, or God might have sent some people to announce, but he doesn't do that. It was actually in probably one of the most secretive events that actually took place in the Bible. You know what is even more striking is this, that of all the people that could have actually discovered about the coming of the Messiah, this news was announced only to one single group of people. And this morning in our San Jose message, I said two groups. But if you want to be really precise and accurate, there's only one group of people that God actually announced the birth of this Messiah. And that those people are the shepherds who are out in the field. The Magi, the wise men, how did they find out? They were actually researching. They did not find by some kind of angel or messenger or prophet. They were just simply studying and they discovered this star and they followed the star. They did not know that this little baby was actually the Messiah. They thought he was some kind of king. That was their understanding. So of all the people in the Old Testament, all the way up to the New Testament, up until this point, God announces only to these shepherds who are out in the field taking care of their own sheep. They were the only group of people who were given this information. Don't you find that fascinating? I mean, today, if we were to find out the Messiah was actually coming into this world, what would you do? If you found out, if you were given this information, somehow you discovered through your study or through a messenger or a prophet that you found out that the Messiah is coming, like, let's say, December 25th of 2017, what would you have done? You would have sold all your possessions, and you would have probably bought out, like, a radio station time, and that's what most people do. Throughout the history, there have been occultic groups that believed that the Messiah was coming, and every single time in history, what did they do? They would sell their possessions, they would gather together in this communal living, and they would buy out. Even as recent as just a few years ago, do you remember? What was his name? Harding, this old man who prophesied that the world will come to an end. So they bought out a radio station. Most of us would have done the same thing. Or at least, if it was today, you would have at least put a few Facebook messages, right? On your Facebook post. Or Instagram. Or some kind of social media. You would at least try to tell other people about the coming of the Messiah. There's not a single mention here. The only group of people who discover that the Messiah was born into their world was this group of shepherds were out in the field on their own, taking care of their sheep. I find that shocking that God would actually bring his son into this world in that fashion, in such a secret manner. The question that I want to ask you is this. Why the shepherds? Why? Why not priests? Why not teachers? Why not farmers? Why not fishermen? Why not tax collectors? They needed Jesus, right? Why shepherds? A lot of people try to find out why, I've read a lot of writings and, you know, people's arguments, and some people say that this news was announced to the shepherds because in those days, the shepherds were actually the poor of the poor, meaning that they were the lowliest kind of people. In fact, if you read some of the ancient literature, you'll discover that shepherds were not even allowed in the court of law. They could not. There, even if they were eyewitnesses of some crime, if they were to give a testimony, their testimony would not count. Don't you find that really fascinating? Means that a lot of the shepherds in those days were almost at the same level as tax collectors. Their words were not really worthy. And they were probably scoundrels or some kind of, you know, gangsters. I don't know. They were just the low of the low people in those days. And some scholars will say that that's why the news was actually announced to these group of shepherds. Now, that's pretty reasonable, and Jesus did certainly care for the poor, but shepherds were not the only poor people. In fact, all of us, before the coming of Jesus, coming of Messiah, we were no better than some of these shepherds out in the field. We may have had more money, we may have had more resources, but we too were poor in our spirit because of our sin. We were no different from this group of shepherds. There's no special virtue about this group of shepherds. In fact, when they heard the news, what was their reaction? It says they were all terrified. They were all afraid. I would have been. If an angel of the Lord or some form of messenger came and announced, and then you start hearing all these angels surrounding and singing, I would have been terrified. Another thing that I want you to meditate on is this. These group of shepherds who witnessed the birth of Christ, what do you think happened to them the next day or a week from that day or a year from that day? What do you think might have happened to this group of shepherds who actually was given this news and went to witness the birth of this Messiah? My answer is probably nothing. They probably all went on to live their life. Just like many of us, we wait for this Christmas day and we go through all the shopping and celebration, and the 26th comes, what happens to most people? We just go on living our own lives. Go back to our busy life, waiting for the New Year celebration, the Chinese New Year or Japanese New Year, Italian New Year, whatever it is. We just go through the cycles of life. This group of shepherds would never hear the name of Jesus again for probably another 30 years. If they lived that long, they may have heard the name of Jesus again, but it would not actually happen for another 30 or so years. And they probably just went on to live their own lives. So, what is the significance of God announcing to a group of shepherds, and only to this group of shepherds? What would be the significance? It actually has nothing to do with who they were, but it had everything to do with who this Christ would be. The reason why it was announced to the shepherds was probably because this Jesus, this little baby, was born into a manger as a sacrificial lamb of God, would one day grow up to be the shepherd of his people, to be the shepherd over his church, to be the shepherd over our lives. And that's the significance. And I think Luke is really trying to tell the story of how this Jesus, who came into this world, was the shepherd king. Matthew is trying to tell the story of how this Jesus is actually the king of the Jews. So when you put those two stories together, we are worshiping the shepherd king who came as a savior of this world. It's really no coincidence that every great leader in the Bible was also a shepherd. Moses, who led people out of Egypt, before God uses him as a deliverer of this people of Israel, do you remember what he did for 40 years? He was tending the flock of his father-in-law for 40 years. He spent this prime of his life being a shepherd in the desert. Jacob, who's the father of Israel, do you remember what he did? To gain his wife, for 7 years he had to work as a shepherd, and then he got the older sister. To find the love of his life, he had to work another 7 years as a shepherd, and then for the rest of his life, he actually lived as a nomadic shepherd, tending the flock of his family. David, who's supposed to be the type of Christ or foreshadow of Christ. Who was he before he became the king? He was a shepherd. He was a great one. In fact, when Samuel came to look for the next king of Israel, Jesse brought all of his sons, but there was one missing, and that was David. What was he doing? He was out in the field, shepherding his flock. And the reason why, Jesus actually had to be born in the town of David, or town of Bethlehem, was because that was the town where David actually shepherded his flock. What the story is really telling us is that Jesus is this little baby, this little helpless baby that was born into a manger, would one day grow to become the shepherd of his people, who would actually lay down his own life for his own flock. This same shepherd is the one who would leave behind 99 sheep to go after one lost sheep. In fact, if you read Psalm 23, the most beloved Psalms in the Bible, God's name is actually a shepherd. In those days, shepherds might have been the lowest of the low people, but in the Bible it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I shall not." You know, that's really remarkable. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall lack nothing. And this shepherd will make me lie down on green pastures. It's probably the most fitting for this great news to be announced to the shepherds in the field, because Luke is really trying to highlight that this Jesus was actually the shepherd of all people. And what was the great news that the angels announced to the shepherd? Fear not. Fear not. Do you fear? Do you have any fear? Let's be honest. Let's be real. Do you have any fears? Yes. Do you fear about tomorrow? Do you fear about sickness? Yes. Do you fear about your future? Yes. The message that was spoken to the shepherds was, fear not. It says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this very person, this very Savior who was born in the town of David, is actually the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And I can say that everything Christianity is about is actually locked up this one statement. If we are honest with ourselves, all of us, we live in fear. Great fear. I don't know what you're actually afraid of today. Fear of losing job, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of poverty, fear of sickness, all the things that we talked about. Those are constantly haunting us. Do you know that when the psalmist says in Psalm 23 that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down on green pastures. You know, something really interesting is that if you actually talk to any real shepherds, you'll discover that sheep never lie down. Dogs lie down. Have you ever seen sheep? You know, those little sheep that cries like, baa, baa. Have you ever seen them actually lying just like dogs and resting and sleeping? No. It's an illusion. They will never lie down. Why? Because they're constantly scared. They're constantly scared of either wild animals coming in or beasts coming into their flock. So they're constantly standing up, and it's actually impossible for sheep to lie down. So when David, the shepherd himself, says that the Lord is my shepherd, he makes me lie down on green pastures. He's going everything against what he's been trained in. Everything he's learned as a shepherd, he's going against his own knowledge of being a shepherd. And that's what it means. You know, there are creatures that are always constantly scared. But you know, of all the creatures, you know which creature actually is the most fearful in this whole world, in this whole universe? There's one creature that's actually more sheepish or more scared or more fearful than the sheep. You know who they are? It's us. I want you to think about this. We are literally at the top of our food chain. We're the only creature of all the creatures in the world, that we're the only creatures that lives by this fear of our future. We're the only ones who have to save up for our retirement account. We're the only creatures who actually stores food for tomorrow. Not just tomorrow, a month from now, a year from now. Some people might say that that's a good preparation. That's why we're at the top of the food chain. But if you really think deep, we live and our lives are driven by this fear of maybe not having enough, or maybe of dying, maybe of suffering. Animals don't live. Most animals do not live in that kind of fear. We're the only creatures. And we're trying to take control of our own lives. How I'm going to save myself, how I'm going to save my future, by earning lots of money or trying to take care of my own health. What Luke is telling us and what this gospel is proclaiming to us through the story of Christmas is this, that we do not have to live in that fear. I'm not saying that you should live irresponsibly, but if this Lord is your shepherd, if this Jesus is your shepherd, you do not have to live in fear. You can ask me. I'm probably one of the most fearless people in the world, in my own estimation. I don't have a retirement account. I don't think about 10 years from now, 20 years from now. My testimony to you, in the last 30 years that I've made this Jesus my shepherd, I did not have to worry about my finance or where my food is going to come from. The Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. You shall not live in this sense of lack or fear of not having enough or not having, living in this poverty. That's the good news that the angel is declaring. That's the good news that the gospel is proclaiming to us. When this Jesus was born into this world as a shepherd of his people, It's God's promise that He will take care of His people. He will take care of you, your future. And when that happens, when you surrender your life and when you come to receive this gift of Christ's shepherdship over your life, you get to lie down. You get to take a nap. You get to enjoy the surroundings that God has put you in. You don't have to fear. You don't have to live in constant anxiety. You don't have to be afraid. Would you like that for your gift? You know what God is offering to us, and this is why the gospel is such a good news. The gift that came into this world is not what you would find under the Christmas tree. What did you get this morning when you opened that box? Did you get anything? Whatever you got, whether it's an iPad or iPhone or just something small, you know, the pleasure that comes from the material things is very, very fleeting, right? Maybe you're happy for a day or two. Those things will not last. You will want more and more and more in this life if your trust is in those things. But when Christ is your shepherd, you shall not want. You shall not fear. You will walk through the shadow of the valley of death. And yet, you will fear no evil. You will actually face your enemy. But the Lord promises that He will actually prepare a table before the presence of my enemy. That's the life that God promises to those people who would actually receive this gift of Christ. The greatest news is that the gift, the real gift that God is bringing to us is not things. It's the person. The person of Christ. The good news of great joy. Peace. Love. Courage. Faith. It's all wrapped up in this Christ who came into this world as a shepherd. And I really believe that that's the reason why this news was announced to a group of shepherds. I want to give you just a few moments to respond. I think it'll be terrible that on this very special Christmas day that you come to a place like this and you walk away feeling empty. Are not receiving this gift of the person of Christ. In a moment, we're going to sing that last song that we sang, O Holy Night. But before we do that, I want to invite you this morning, tonight. I feel like I'm still in the morning mode. I get confused every day, every Sunday. Tonight, if you have never received this gift of Christ into your life, if you feel like Christ has never become your shepherd, I want to just take some time to pray for you. Maybe I'll invite some of our leaders to come and pray with you. But if you want to do that today, don't just walk off of this place. You've been coming here every Sunday, and you've been listening, you've been hearing about this good news of the gospel. But if you have never, you feel like you never took a hold of this person of Christ as a gift from God, I want to declare to you that today is the day and you may be able to receive that gift. And I'm not going to have you come up here and share something or do a public speaking. Just simply come and exchange whatever fears that you have, whatever concerns, whatever anxiety that you have. I want you to exchange it with this gift, the person of Christ. For those of you who have received the gift of Christ, you can still come and exchange whatever fears that you're going through right now. And some of us will be praying for you. So maybe Douglas and Alan, Jack, Y, Kim, if you can just stand by here. We want to really just pray with you through whatever you're going through right now. If you have a want or need or lack, we want to pray for you as well. But the invitation is really for those people who have never really received the gift of Christ. person of Christ, I want to invite you to come, and we're going to simply just pray over you as you receive by faith. And then after that, we're going to sing this last song. So let me just give you a few moments before this time passes.